Today's daf is daf pei ches. So we got to the Mishnah on pei zayin and beis. Mishnah's talking about different situations where the text was facing different ways, two different texts of get on one piece of paper, back to back, side by side, upside down. So different scenarios. So Gemara says now, again, the bottom of pei zayin and beis, right after the Mishnah. Gemara says, v'leichash dilma hani trei gita havo. So when we have two texts, two columns, on one get, but it's really one text. So it starts, let's say, first half is here. There's Zman on top. Let's say, I have, from your perspective, so Hebrew starts on that side, so you have the Zman and text, and then it doesn't have enough room, so it goes to the next column and finishes up, and the Edom are on the bottom. So we're assuming the Mishnah said, the Mishnah said, this is a good get. So the Gemara says, why is it a good get? Leichash dilma hani trei gita havi. Maybe the two separate gets, v'srami le'zman dekama ve'edim debasa ve'gazei le'zman debasa ve'edim dekama. Meaning, so let's say you have the one text here, so the Zman's on the top, then maybe the bottom got cut off. Maybe there were separate Edom on the bottom, and that got cut off in the first column. And on the other hand, where we only have Edom on the bottom, maybe there was Zman on top, but that Zman got cut off. Who said that this was a continuous get? Maybe there are two separate gets, we're just missing Zman on one, and the Edom on the other. So again, I'll read that inside. Again, Leichash Dil Mahani Trei Gita Havi, the two separate gets. Visrami Le happens to be Zman de Kam, at the time of the first one, is there. But the Edom and the Basra, and the Edom are on the second one only. The Gaza, the Zman, the Basra, and the time of the second column was cut off the top, and the Edom of the column, the Edom on the bottom of the first one was cut off. That's what the Gemara is suggesting. So maybe they're really two Gitim, and this is neither one's a good full get. It's either missing the Edom on one or the Zman on the other.
Maybe you could read it and see if it looks continuous, and you'll know that it makes sense.
Right, so the Gemara is going to say, even though it's continuous, there might be a concern it got cut off, though. Maybe it got cut off mamish at that line. Let's say it has. Let's say there are five lines. So let's say the first one has three lines, and the other one has only two lines, four and five. So maybe 1, 2, 3 got cut off the second column, and 4 and 5 got cut off from the second column. There's no way to know that this was meant to, at least at this stage, that it was supposed to be continuous. Maybe just mamish got cut off exactly where the text is supposed to continue.
Purposely, he cut it off so it should look like one get.
It could be also it was done on purpose.
He actually checked where he can cut it so it should look like
one get. But again, if there's one line, you know, one piece of paper straight, so then there's no spaces.
Right.
Once it's two columns, you have no idea what was shaved off each column. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav, kishyesh revach milmata." So in essence, when there's some space on the bottom, so you know he couldn't have cut off. There's extra space here. There's nothing was chopped off, so he must have continued on the top of the next column. Gemara says, okay, fine. So that explains, so that at least the first column is full. But maybe Vidilma Zman Debasa Megiz Geis. So maybe the end of it got cut off. What does that mean? The Zman of the second one got cut off. So the top, so we explained why the first column bottom is empty. But what about the top of the second column? Maybe there's something higher up with the Zman that was cut off.
Okay, here it says Vidilma im Luche Imbich. No, or am I in the wrong place?
Dilma what?
Where are we reading? Bottom here. Dilma Zman Basra Mega. Last line.
Oh, okay. I'm not putting it in the
room. Okay, so the Gemara explains, so there's no concern that this second column, the top, was cut off for the same reason. Kedama Rabbi Abba Amarav, just like he said, Kishyesh Revach Milmata, where the first column had space on the bottom, so we know that he must have went to the top of the next column. So Hachanami here too, also Kishyesh Revach Milmata, where there's extra space on the top of the second column, so nothing was cut off. So we could therefore view these two columns as a continuous read, a continuous text. So Megara says, now this is what you're up to. V'dilma im luchim amlich. Maybe he really changed his mind. V'kasav, and he wrote it. So meaning what? If you look at Rashi, Rashi explains maybe the fact that they're written in two different columns. And there's maybe he started, and then he said, let's pick up, I want to do this again. So if he changed mind, so it's very likely that day one he decided to write the first half, and then a few weeks later he decided to write the second half. And there's a problem of ksiva and chasima can't be on two separate days. The ksiva has to take place on the same day as the chasima. And the very fact that there's a space here might indicate maybe there was a space in time also, and there's a lapse in time. So the Gemara says can't be, because it's a case to kasav hare'at milmata umateres milmala. You had one sentence that was in the bottom of one column, and you continue that same sentence on the top of the next column. Unlikely that very important sentence was split up between two different days. So therefore we assume that it was continuous on one given day. So Gemara says, V'dilma isramile, maybe it just happens to be this way. What happens to be this way? Maybe besoch k'dei diborashes, he changed his mind. Maybe it happened. Maybe he changed his mind and he did pause in the middle. And he wrote, Hariat Mutaris. A few days later he says, let me finish the sentence and write
the chaladim. What does it make on a one page, on two columns, one column? That could happen in any get.
Right, but if it's one continuous get, there's no reason for us looking at it.
You won't notice anything.
Right. But once you see something different on the two texts, the two columns, that makes us wonder. Maybe it's there, just like there's a space in the paper, maybe there's also a space in how it was done, the Zman. Otherwise, you never know.
But you can tell.
Either way, it's clearly highly
If there is not enough space to finish the whole get in the bottom, you know that you have to do it that way. It would be much more.
We're talking about a case where there is space in the bottom.
Well, there's a little bit of space, so it shouldn't be not a lot of space.
So nothing was cut off, though.
Right.
So he said, meaning,
let's say you have an inch in the bottom, but you still need 5 inches to write the whole get, so it makes sense that it goes to the next column.
Fine. That's fine.
If you would have 10 inches in the bottom, you could say, yeah, that's what happened.
Okay, so there's enough extra space to know that it wasn't cut off, but not enough space to write everything, right. So you need to move to the second column.
Right. So then you shouldn't be.
No, but you still. But again, it still makes you wonder that maybe the fact that there's some separation, it's possible. There's a possibility. The Gemara answers it's not a concern. We're not concerned with such crazy things. So then the Gemara says, Rav Ashi says, Amar di yadia be mitachta de migilasa. Now we know that this is the bottom of the Megillah. So Rashi explains it's a decent-sized Rashi, but they used to. It seems that they would put like rocks on the side of the cloth. That's some understanding of this to keep everything flat. So you know the end of the cloth had these little spots and they worn down. So you know it wasn't cut off. It wasn't a fresh. They had those marks still. So nothing was okay. Varnell says again. This would be a little complicated in just that just the visual of what the different texts are now. The Gemara quotes from the Mishnah Chasmu Edim Berosh Hadafachulim. So the Gemara had said that the Mishnah had said if you write the signatures sideways, it's possible. Aini, is that really true? V'harav chasam min atzad. Rav apparently would sign on the side of a get, but how can you do that? The Mishnah says it's possible. Chasam b'shigago klapik sav. Somehow, where the roof, the top of the letters, were towards the writing. I don't know this image. Any images or explanations what that really means? And they don't have that here. Which one is this?
I think it's the bottom.
The bottom one here?
I didn't have time to look at it yet.
Okay, I don't know.
I'm giving it to you before I got a chance
to look at
it.
Okay, let's see.
It's 8, I think.
Minatzad, number 8.
It's sideways, it's right in between the two.
It's sideways, I don't know how that helps. It's sideways, I don't know. Somehow, if it's not on the side, it's sideways between the two. So, apparently that's better. I really don't know why. Sorry. So the Gemara says, Ella hadikatani hikif roshel shazeh mitad roshel shazeh. If the tops of each are touching each other, so they're like backwards, it's like almost a mirror. So you're writing, let's say for you, writing down this way and then writing upside down.
The other way.
Exactly. So then the Gemara says, the Mishnah had said, and the Eidim b'em, so the Eidim sign in the middle, shnehem psum, they're both puzzle. And the reason why they're both puzzle is because it's either on the top of one of them or it's upside down with regards to the other one that's upside down. I mean, you have the Edom in the center. So Edom read down with the bottom one. But Edom are supposed to go after the bottom get. So they're on top of the get. Now regarding the one that's written upside down, so they're written in different directions. So exactly, it's on top. It's on top and also upside down, both. So that's not going to help either. So Gemara said, but according to our understanding that when Rav signed and the roof of the Ksav was written along the same direction of the writing. So the Gemara says, "V'lechse heimenayo klape ksav." Which one is part of the ksav? So again, I don't understand Rav to really understand what this question is either, to be honest. So v'lechsher hasam, and let that be kosher. So whichever one that signature is being written in, whichever one it reads with, it should be kosher. So I apologize for not knowing what's going on here, but the Gemara says, "Deramile k'ibra." It's a situation where it's like an ibra. Is there a picture of that also? It's like talking about two doors when they meet with each other. That next one there.
Yeah.
Anything in the art school, any good English explanation of what's going on here? Sorry to put you on the spot, Harry.
I just understand because, we don't have time yet, but all right. I'll look at it later.
That's where they're facing opposite the get and the written opposite.
Uh-huh.
And then the signature is sideways between them.
So between both of them.
Yeah. So here's the text is going this way, and then the signature is going like this.
Right. That's the picture. Right.
So that's, I guess, the same picture.
That picture wasn't from. We still don't know what Rav's issue was. It doesn't show a picture for Rav.
Uh huh.
We don't get that.
So I was initially thinking he wrote it like his letters were curved. We started writing, the top of the letter. The writing's like this, and he starts writing that way, but he kind of curves his letter, so it ends up like being pulled in such a way where the top is lined, but the bottom ends up going off to the side for some very strange reason. I should like get a whiteboard and explain what I'm trying to say here.
We're talking about which case is it? When it says here, Chad Moedim Barosh Hadav O Minatzat Pasul, right?
Yeah, and Rav said that was cut. He would write a bitzad, and they said that was kosher. And we said, but Gago Klapiksav, the top of the letters were long Iksav, but it sounded like the rest of it was off to the side, written sideways. I'm viewing the letters being written very curved. That's how I initially understood it. I don't know if that's the case here. I don't know. Let's go weiter, I guess. I wish I understood the visual here.
Yeah. Rav is signing on the side, but somehow his signature is facing, in some way facing the text, so that he knows it's clear that he was attesting to that text.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what that means. He's signing this way. Does that mean he's signing this way?
Uh huh.
Okay. It's clear.
It's hard to describe pictures sometimes, unless you actually have pictures. Okay. The Gemara says further now. Ihachi, that's the case. Seifa the Katani Rosha Shoze Betad Sofa Shoze. If the top of one is connected to the end of the other one, so then Va'edim Bem. So the Edim are in the middle. Esha Edim Nikrim Besofo Shkasher. So here, this is the situation where you have the top of the get written the right way. And the bottom is written upside upwards. And you have the Edom in the middle. So the Edom are read with a top ksav, but they're not written with the bottom ksav, because they're written the upside down.
But the signatures are perpendicular.
Oh, that's what's going on here?
Yeah. Right, the text is this way, the text is this way, and the signature
right.
is this way.
In this case we just read, yeah? Oh, okay. Okay, so I misread that one.
And they're trying to say that can't be good.
So if the Ed the Rami be Ivra, if they're like the shape of the Ibra we said above, Labahadehamikre, they're not red. If it's perpendicular, it's not being read along with either of the texts. So Ella, the Gemara ends up answering Rav Bidiske Havachasim. So Enechnam, we're throwing out Rav entirely. Rav, when he would sign sideways, he wasn't referring to Gittin. Signing Bitsad Begitin doesn't work. He was talking about Bidiska. What's Bidiske? Says Rashi. Where did Rashi go? Rav kichasam etzad lo begitin lo basharis el badiske. Kishay mazmin anashim, when he would have a summons to someone to come to Bezdin, he would sign on the side for some reason. But he would never ever sign a get or a star to validate it. It was simply for whatever reason he chose to sign such a way when it came to a hazmana, to a summons to come to Bezdin. And there is no kasha to our Mishnah. Gemara now says, get chikasu ivris vechule kasav sofer ve'ed kasher. One of the things the Mishnah said is that if the sofer writes, and one aid signs, when you validate one of the aidim, that's actually a good get. Even though you're not validating both aidim, as long as you know the sofer write it, and one aid you could validate. So it comes along, Amar Rabbi Yirmi, we saw this statement several times, Chasam sofer Shaninu. Even though it says Chasam sofer, it should be Chasam sofer, which means that no, you have to be able to have this sofer sign as one of the aidim, and another aid kasher, that's when it's good. You need two aidim. Not talking about Ksav sofer, the writing of the sofer, we're talking about the signing of the sofer. He has to be one of the aidim. So Amar Rav Chista, who is the one who allows a sofer to ever sign? It must be Hamani Rav Yosi. Remember, we got the whole sugya of Mili Lomemson Shliach. So he holds that the sofer, you're never allowed to pass on. If the Baal tells someone to sign the get, you can't sign the get unless you heard directly from the husband. So the sofer would only ever sign the get if he himself was told by the Baal to sign. So that's only according to Rabbi Yossi, who does not allow Mila Lomem Shlishliach. Because if you do allow it, you have these concerns of the guy asking the sofer, because the sofer might be embarrassed that he wasn't asked. So we pass like Rabbi Yossi, apparently. So Gemara says, Ahik Suvas Chasanim, the Asi Lakami de Rabbi Abahu, the Havi Yadei Le Tofsa, or the Chasmi Yadei de Chad Sada. So there's a certain Ksuva of the Chasanim, I think it's referring to a regular Ksuva here, that they had recognized the Tofsa. The Tofsa is referring to the Ksiva of the sofer. So they have the ksiva sofer, they have the ksav sofer that they validated, and they're able to validate one of the edim, but not both the edim. So initially he wanted to say, this is kasher. Because according to Amisha, all you need is ksav sofer and an eid echad, you don't need to validate two edim. The ksav sofer will substitute for the other eid. So he says, Amar Leh, you can't do that. Reb Yirmiya chasam sofer shininu. You don't have to validate the ksav sofer, you need to validate the chasam sofer. You need two edim also. And Reb Yirmiya is teaching us that you allow the sofer to be one of the edim, as long as he signs his name. Gemara says now, Ksav Chanichasa v'Chanichasa Kasha. You write his nickname, you write her nickname. Tanu Rabbanan Chanichas Avos Begitin Adasar Daros. So let's say it's a person is called, he has great yichas. I met a guy who passed Sunday, he was visiting from Brooklyn, he was visiting here for Shabbos. His name, I think, was Ben Harosh. Yosef Ben Harosh, I think his name was. So Ben Harosh, he dates back supposedly to the Rush. He's a descendant of the Rush. And he says from the Rush comes from even earlier back. But Ben Harosh, that's his last name. So let's say a person goes by Ben Harosh. He goes with such a last name, going back to his Yichus. So how far back do we say that's a good enough nickname? So could a person be recognized from the generations before him? So the Gemara says, you can go so far back when it comes again, 10 generations beforehand, we consider that a valid nickname. More than 10 generations, you can't go based on such a nickname as a 20th generation Rush, let's say. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer Shlosha Daros Kasha. No, you're only able to go back 3 generations to your grandfather, Mikan Ve'elech Pasul, but you can't go back further than that. So the Gemara wants to know, Kaman Azla, who is the following statement go like? The Amar Rabbi Chanina, Ksav Chanikas Avos Begin Ad Shlosha Daros. Kaman, Rabbi Shimon, very clear. Ben Elazar. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is the one who holds, you can only go back with a nickname 3 generations back. So Amar Rav Huna Baikra, what's the pasuk? Is there a source? Is there a remiss to such a concept of 3 generations only? So he says, yes, ki tolid banim uvnei banim v'noshantem, that you have children and grandchildren, so that's reference to 3 generations back, no more than that. So Amar Bishua ben Levi, lo charva Eretz Yisrael ad she'avdu ba shiva bati dinim avodah zarah, we were not, Eretz Yisrael was not destroyed until 7 different bati dinim, Rashi says 7 different kingdoms worshipped avodah zarah. That's when Eretz Yisrael was destroyed. The Eluhin, Yeravam ben Nevat, Uvashe ben Achia, Acha ben Amri, Viehu ben Nimshe, Pekiach ben Ramalia, Menachem ben Gidi, Vahoshea ben Ela. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Umulala Yoledet Hashiva, those who give birth to 7 generations will be desolate. Nafcha Nafsha, the Nefesh will be spoiled. Baal Shimsha Baod Yomam, the sun's going to set during the day, it's going to set early. Busha Vechafara, there's going to be tremendous embarrassment and disgrace. So Shiva, 7 generations, 7 kingdoms that are going to worship Avodah Zarah will cause the sun to set early, will cause the destruction of Eretz Yisrael. Amar Rav Ami Maikra, what's the pasuk that supports this? Ki tolid solid banim uvnei banim. So they bring this pasuk as a raya for this. So that's why you have the statement here, it's another remez. What's the remez here? Ki solid is 1 generation, banim is another 2, because banim is 2, bnei is another 2, and banim is another 2, so that ends up being 7. Good with the math? So this is the remez that 7 generations is going to be when the destruction of Eretz Yisrael happens. Samali Rav Kana, Rav Asi, Rav, they ask him, Ksiv Bei, Hoshea Ben Ela, it's written in regards to Hoshea, Vayas Hara Bene Hashem, he did evil in the eyes of Hashem, Rak Lo Kimlach Yisrael. But he didn't do as bad, he did not do like the previous kings before him. He wasn't so bad. Uksiv, yet it says, Allah Allah, Shalmanasar, Shalmanasar had attacked him. It doesn't make sense. What, if he didn't, if he wasn't as bad as the previous kings, so why was he attacked? What did he do wrong? So Amar Lo, so he explains to him, Rav explains to Rav Kana Rav Asi, Osen Pardiyasel Shehushiv Yeravim Adrachim, Kadeshalo Yalu Yisrael Regel. Yeravim was known to, he set up these stations in order to prevent Klai Yisrael from going to Alila Regel. So Ba Hoshea Ubitlan, Hoshea came along as Mevatel these Pardesos and allowed Klai Yisrael to go. However, Apal Pikein, Lo Alu Yisrael Regel, they didn't go. Even though they were able to, they didn't go. And because of that, Amar Kadesh Baruch Hu, so because of that, Akadesh Baruch Hu said, Osen Shanim, since those years they did not go, he didn't encourage them. Again, he removed all the different blocks, but he didn't encourage them and they didn't end up going. He was therefore taken b'shevi, he was taken into captivity.
I think it's more that he actually was megale that the Israel weren't good, meaning the excuse went away. It's more, I don't know if he really didn't encourage them, right? Or it's more that he, by the fact that he took away the agalim, it was clear that the Israel.
No, as Rashi says, "Ve'ein mocha b'yadam." He wasn't reprimanding them to go.
Okay, clear.
Fine. So the Gemara says,
that's why he, because otherwise he didn't make any sense.
Right. And the Gemara says elsewhere, a person who sat back, a certain gadol, a rav, who sat back and watched someone doing something wrong and didn't say anything, it's kilu he himself did that same violation. So the Gemara says further now, Amar Rav Chista, Amar Rav Marukva, Amar Le, Amar Rav Chista, Amar Rav Yirmiya, Darsh Maremar, they made the following drash in the pasuk that appears in Daniel, my dechsev. What does the pasuk mean when it says in Daniel, "Vayishkor Hashem al hara," that he hurried up? Vayishkor to hurry up in the evil. Vayivea aleinu, he brought the evil upon them. Ki tzadik Hashem elokeinu. It doesn't make it. Mishum tzadik Hashem elokeinu, because Hashem the tzadik. Vayishkor Hashem al hara. Vayivea aleinu, because Hashem the tzadik, he brought evil upon us. It doesn't make any sense. Ela tzedaka asa Kadosh Baruch Hu im Yisrael. He did a tremendous tzedakah for us, Shehigla Galus Tzidkiyo V'adayin Galus Yechanya Kayemes, that he exiled us during Tzidkiyo while the exile of Yechanya was already still alive. The earlier Galus was still there. Why? What was the tzedakah that happened? Dichsiv Bey, as you know this, it says, Begalus Yechanya, the first Galus, it says, HaChareish V'amaskir Elef, means Hacharesh Shebesha Sheposchin, when the Talmid HaChachamim of the first Galus, they went to Bavel. So tremendous Talmid HaChachamim were in Bavel. So when they would speak, Shebesha Sheposchin, when they opened their mouths up to teach, Nasra Kol Kecharashin, they ended up being deaf people. They ended up being so, it seemed to me, they'd pay attention to what was going on. Umaskir, Kevin Shesogin, Shuvaina Poschin. And once they closed the doors, Rashi says, Kevin Shesogin, Halacha, Shem Skurin Hemba, Shane Yodim, Lahashiv Lashalem, Shuvain Lem Poschin Acherim. No one else was able to open up. Which means, I think, the second Gullus were very, very incapable of learning. So there is Ocha that when they were exiled, the earlier exile was still there with all the Zakanim and Tamid Chachamim that were able to teach this new exile all the various halachas. So that was a tremendous tzedakah. What? That's referring to Mordechai.
Sure.
So all the calculations, I remember the Gemara Megillah.
It was 10 years later, I think. That,
it was 7 and 8, I think, and 7 and 18, 17 and 18.
Something like that. So, yeah, so the Galus Tzidkiyahu was... So Hashem, actually, when it says that Hashem sent all the professionals, it's held, he meant to... I think the Gemara takes it as he sent all the to prepare the...
Exactly.
Yeah.
So here we see that was a tremendous tzedakah that he allowed the gullus to overlap with each other. He made sure he wanted the second gullus to be quicker, so the old gullus people are still there, so they can overlap with each other and learn from one another. And kama, how many were there? Elef, there were still 1,000 talmidei chachamim from the first gullus of Yechaniah. That was a tzedakah. Ula amar shehikdim shteishanim le v'noshantem, that he made the gullus come 2 years earlier. That was a tremendous tzedakah. Why is that a tzedakah? And how do you have that from the word noshantem? So look at the last Rashi for a second on Amud Aleph. He says, Ula Amar, Hainu Tzedakah. The Tzedakah is as follows. Shemihir Lahavi Hara Lasov Ches Meos V'chamishim. He brought the Gullus at the end of 850 years. Hainu Shtei Shanim Kodim V'noshantem. 2 years before it was supposed to happen. Because the Gematria of Noshantem is really 852. And he brought it 850. Why? Because had they waited 2 more years, they would have been destroyed. So he had to do a tremendous favor. Leave now before things actually get worse. So Gemara says now, going on to Amud Beis, Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Shmamina Mehera Demari. What does it mean? Quickness for Hakar Demari Alma for Hashem Tamne Mea V'Chamishin Tartehu. So 852. That means something that happens quickly. Why does it mean happens quickly? But the 2 years means Mehera.
No, because the whole time.
Ah. The pasuk says, when if Klal Yisrael sins, the pasuk says, "Haidosi b'chem hayom es hashemayim es aretz ki avot avedun maher." I'll quickly destroy you. 852 years was the quick destruction of Klal Yisrael. So, quick in Hashem's eyes is 152. The mission now tells us, "Get mu'usa b'Yisrael kasher." If a get is forced by a Jew, it's a kasher get. Uvdovi kachavim. If the non-Jews are causing the force, pasul. It's not a good get. Uvdovi kachavim chovten also. Omrim lo, if they're hitting, if the goyim are hitting, saying, "Asay Mashi Yisrael, Omrim lo, Lecha," do what the Jews tell you to do, then it actually would be a kasher get. Now, we're not going to get involved in the halachas of getting me'usa right now, but this is a simple meaning. If the Jews are forcing it, it's good. If the non-Jews are forcing it, it's no good. But if the non-Jews are forcing it on behalf of the Jews, that would also be a good get. So, Amar of Nachman, Amar Shmuel, get ha'me'usa b'Yisrael, kedin kasher. Kedin means those certain situations Rashi tells us that they're not supposed to stay married. Where there's an iser marriage, so they're supposed to get divorced. So then the Jewish basin is able to force them to get divorced. So such a get mu'usa is good. If it's shloka din, if it's not din, it's not based on any isurim, it's they want to just get divorced or she wants a divorce. So then there's no real ground halachically to force a get. Shloka din, that's actually possible. It's not a good get. But even though such a get was given, it's possible her, it disqualifies her from marrying a kohen. So she's not single anymore, but it's enough to make her have a recha get, what's called
a forced get,
even though it does not make her single, so she's not divorced, it does disqualify her for when she does get divorced, she can no longer marry a Kohen. Even if he dies, I should say. If he dies, let's say, she still has a psul of marrying a Kohen. If the goyim are the ones to enforce the get, kedin, if it's a situation where they should have got divorced, where it's a coin to a grush or something, where there's an iser.
I think here it says that the baal is not the goyim, it's chova. It's not when it says kedin, it means that he's not doing his obligations. Not that it's a possible.
According to Rashi, he's referring to certain. Okay, could be other examples also.
Interesting.
Okay, no, any time where I guess he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing, and Chazal say you have to get divorced.
Right.
So, lav dafka, case of Israel.
I also thought this. The Haino immigration, lo hayach. Okay, anyway. Yeah.
Fine. No, you're right. I think there are other situations where it's not necessarily be'isser, but he's perhaps not fulfilling his obligations, that they would implement a mus anyways. Okay.
Fine. So then the Gemara says, Uvdav Kol
Chachavim. Both of them.
If the Goyim are the ones who are enforcing the get, Kedin, if it's a case where they're supposed to get divorced, it's possible, it's still possible the Goyim cannot enforce this. Uposel, it also, since it's Kedin, really they're supposed to get divorced, it will have the strength to passel her from ever marrying a Kohen again. But Shlo Kedin, if the Goyim are enforcing the get, and it's not where they're supposed to enforce it, Afil Recha Get Einbo, it's not even considered the smell of a get, it will not disqualify her at all. So Gemara says now, Marashach, it doesn't make sense to me. If they are able to enforce in general, it's kashur inam l'skashur. So then, in a case of kedin, so let it be a good get. And ila b'nei asuin inu, if they are not able to enforce get, so miftol omith lifsal, so it should never be able to passel the woman from marrying a kohen. It should be meaningless. So make a decision. So amar of masharsha dvar Torah, on a dvar Torah, on a diraisa level, get musa above the kachavim kashur. Really, a goyim can enforce a get. Umatam amru pasul. So why do they say it's pasul for them to enforce it? Shilote kolachas viachas holechas v'tol asma beov dekochavim. We're concerned that a woman, a wife, is going to go to the goyim, ask them to enforce her get. Umafkas asma biyad baila, and she's going to therefore have the control of releasing herself from her husband by going to the goyim. So therefore, they made a takana. You're not allowed to go to the goyim. Mederaisa, it works, but we don't. We the chachamim assert it. So Gemara says if that's the case, if the goyim cannot enforce a get, ihachi shilote din afil recha get einbo. So if that's the case, if the goyim are enforcing it when it's not supposed to be enforced, and we said there's not even a smell of a get, why? Shelo kedin Yisrael, it should be the same din as shelo kedin ki Yisrael, umafsel nami livsel. So just like in a situation, if a Jew would enforce a get when it's shelo kedin, but it results in a rech a get, it results in making a smell of a get, it passes her from a kohen. So on the flip side, when the goyim were to enforce the get, even though we say they're not supposed to, but ben deraisa they are allowed to, it should also at least be able to passel her from ever marrying a kohen. But we said if the goyim were to force it in a case of shelo kedin, it does not passel her from marrying a kohen. Ella, in light of this, Gemara concludes, had the rab masharsha bedusahi. It's a mistake. His understanding was not correct. So now we have to go back to the case. So why again do we not allow goyim to enforce a get? The time of my kedin bekedin Yisrael michlof. Really, the goyim are not able to enforce. They have no right to enforce at all. So if they have no right to enforce, so then when they do enforce, why do we say she's possible? Why is the get maker possible for marrying a kohen? It's meaningless. The Gemara says, because in a situation where the goyim were to enforce, in a case of kedin, so then that can be confused with a case of a Yisrael enforcing kedin. So if we were to say that when a non-Jew enforces kedin, it doesn't disqualify her. So I might say when a Jew enforces kedin, it also would not disqualify her. But that's not true. So since the cases are very similar, they're both in the world of kedin, we say that when a guy enforces kedin, we'll just midirbanam, passel her from ever marrying a kohen because they get confused.
So we agree that midiraisa, it's good.
No, midiraisa, a goyim cannot enforce a get. We're only saying it's possible on the dirabanan level, it passels her. On a derabban level, because it get confused with the case of a Jew kedin, but a case of a guy enforcing shelo kedin does not get confused with the case of a guy, a Jew kedin. So therefore, it does not disqualify her at all. Okay, the Gemara now says Abaye Ashkecha l'Rav Yosef the Yosef v'Kamaisa Igita. So one time Abaye found that Rav Yosef was enforcing a get. He's enforcing the husband to give a get. And we're regular people. V'tani the Brisa tells us the Hayo Rabbeinu Tam Omer. Whenever you find a group, what's agurios? How do they define that word? Gatherings of goyim. Even though they might have the same rules as us, you might be living in America. We have a very similar rules, court system. You still cannot enforce anything. So you cannot have them enforce any of our rules because only in front of the Jewish courts, Dayanim, are they able to enforce halachas, but not goyim. Davar acher, which is why we need this, lifneim v'lo lifnei hadyotos. Only real Dayanim are able to enforce mishpatim, not hadyotos. And we're simply hadyotos, so we have no right to enforce again. So how are you able to do this, Rav Yosef? So Amalei, Rav Yosef responds back to Abaye, onan shlichu sayukai avdinan. We are considered the messengers of the Dayanim in Eretz Yisrael. B'nai Eretz Yisrael are able to enforce gets, and they pointed us as shluchim for them, so we're able to vis-a-vis that. Me did the have it, no different than the case of Ahodas v'Halvaos. that even though we're hadyotos, as shlichusaga, as messengers of Bnei Eretz Yisrael, we're able to have judgment on cases of hoda and cases of loanings. So Gemara says, if that's the case, if you really are shlichusayu, ihachi gzeilos v'chavalos nami. So then in Babel, you should also be able to judge cases of gzeila and judge cases of chaval, of hitting people. But we know the halacha is not that way. So Gemara answers, exactly. Well, that's one of the stages. The Gemara is not going to answer this way. The Gemara in Gittin and in Baba Kama talk about it at greater length. This is a very abridged discussion, but you're right, that is a relevant factor. The Gemara says, the reason why we cannot judge Gzeilos and Chavalos is Ki Avdin and Shlichusai. When do we allow Shlichusayim? The Milsa de Shlichi, something that happens very common, like cases of loans and paybacks. But the Milsa de Lo Shlichi, something that's uncommon, such as stealing and hitting people, Lo Avdin and Shlichusai. There's no need to make such a takana of Shlichusai because it's a case of Lo Shlichi. Okay, we'll stop here. Mirza Shem, I'll have more time tomorrow. I'll daven earlier with you guys, and I'll try to catch Baruch Hu right now.